Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I'm speaking with Nader Pour Hassan, a PhD. He is the CEO of Cytodyn, and the stock symbol is CYDY, over the counter. Nader, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So it looks like your company is on track to, you know, to potentially bring your the HIV monoclonal antibody therapy to market in the next 12 months. So this must be a very exciting time for you right now.
Definitely, it is our first approval in HIV population is supposed to be where we could have revenue in 2020. The final application for final approval is supposed to be submitted to the FDA by the end of March. We have met with FDA and they have given us green light to submit the BLA, which is biologic license application. That's the final application before final approval. And we have reports showing that the potential sales of this product for the first approval is about $1.2 billion. Market penetration for the first year is about $480 million. So a small company on OTCB and not having any revenue for all the years that you're developing your product, we are now almost there to be able to do that.
This is very interesting. So let's let's start off with maybe if you can explain how the technology works, sort of in general terms.
Definitely. The HIV products right now approved are all oral pills. There is one antibody that just came out, but it's in the form of IV for patients who are resistant to all classes of drug. Our product also goes for patients who have almost run out of all the options and or they are close to running out of options, which we call a two-class resistance or three-class resistance. But the bottom line is these are patients who really need something different. The product that we have binds to the cell in the human body, which will stop HIV from being able to replicate, to copy itself. The virus has 24-hour half-life. If you stop the virus quickly, HIV is like a common flu. And if you are able to protect the cells from getting invaded by the virus, they won't be able to multiply. Keep in mind the virus can copy 1 billion copies of itself when it enters one cell. So our product stops that by binding to what we call CCR5. It's like an antenna on a cell. That CCR5 receptor has been studied by researchers in the last 10 or 15 years. So it's a very fairly new knowledge that they have achieved. The first person who found out that this interaction stops HIV was Dr. Paul Madden, who is the inventor of this product, Pro-140, which is called now Liron-Limab. So Liron-Limab, Pro-140, binds to that receptor. And it's very crucial for everybody to understand that when the Pro-140, Liron-Limab, binds to that receptor, HIV cannot bind to it. Therefore, because it's already occupied, therefore, it won't be able to get into the cell. Therefore, it can multiply itself. NIH, National Institute of Health, gave $28 million worth of grant to this product at the beginning when the product was getting developed. FDA granted it fast-track designation based upon this product overcoming four major problems that all approved drugs have. FDA gave it also accelerated approval potential based upon the fast track designation that they gave to this product. We have proven so far in a proof of concept study that not only we could be good for patients who are fairly resistant to current drugs, but we can offer about 600,000 patients on HIV today in the United States that are taking their drugs. We could offer them a potential of getting off of their drugs. Imagine taking four or five pills in exact time, and if you don't take them in exact time every day, you could get resistance. There's only four major classes of drugs, and patients get resistance to three. They could have serious problem. This is unmet medical need if they do have resistance to all the drugs. And our product basically comes there and is able to give a patient a sub-Q, which is under the skin injection, just like diabetes do that. And they can do that once a week and they'll be done with it. There's no more headache of taking 4 or 5 pills a day. We have patients who are going now 4 years, more than 4 years, without taking pills, 2, 3, 4 pills a day. This product also proved that the toxicity and side effects are very minimal, and that's why we have fast-track designation from FDA. So a patient can fairly get their life back if they're using this product. We have a video that of a testimony of 9 patients who had gone 2.5 years without any pills, and most of them indicated our lives are back to normal. We can now get off the bed at 6 in the morning like we used to before HIV and have all kinds of activities and be very energetic, where before for 20 years or so we couldn't because this product wasn't available, and it's not available now. It's almost available after approval, but these patients took the product in clinical trial. So the product has tremendous results so far. The data speaks volume, and the FDA giving it a final blessing to give the final application for final approval for the first population is for combination therapy, and the second population, monotherapy. So that's the story for HIV. But we were shocked.
Oh, not there. Let me first ask you. So the patient would take the drug through an injection once a week. Is that for the rest of their life, or how long does this go?
That's correct. Just like HIV pills, that is 2, 3, 4 pills a day. They have to take it every day for the rest of their lives. This product is for every week, and it takes about 30 seconds to a minute per week. But the product that are out there today, because of the complexity of taking too many pills a day in exact time, Gilead and Viv have done a great job coming up with one pill a day, combining 3, 4 pills in one pill, and the patient can take that one pill a day. But that's only for 45% of the patients right now. 55% have resistance to some components, so they're not able to take one pill a day. So you're talking about a lot of people. There's 1.4 million patients in the United States having HIV, approximately. And if you have, 55% of those who take their pills are in multi-pill a day, you're offering something that relieves the pressure of being paranoid every day, not to mention the toxicity and side effect, not to mention that the drugs do build resistance. This product has shown no resistance for over 4 years in use by patients. So there is a lot of potential here for this product for HIV, and I'll be happy to explain what other indication it has.
Okay. Now, so in terms of what else is on the market, so can you, summarize how, Pro-140 compares to other treatments in terms of the pill based treatments, in terms of efficacy, side effects, costs, etc.
Definitely, the side effect and toxicity is the advantage that this product has to all approved drugs. That's why we have fast track designation. In regards to the other products that are in market, there is no self injectable antibody once a week in the market. There is no self-injectable in any way, shape, or form. And to have it once a week, only 30 seconds to a minute a week, is something, it's definitely not, there's nothing there. The cost of the products for one pill a day is $36,000 per year per patient. We are currently are looking at $24,000 per patient per year for this product. However, we also have been getting unbelievable news about our product having indication most likely in cancer. So we have to price it where it will be compatible to all the products out there for cancer if we're successful with cancer as we were with HIV.
Let's kind of talk about that. So the Pro 140, you're working on expanding into, to other indications right now for cancer?
So that's correct. What we have done is we had news about 5 years ago that Pfizer has realized that their HIV product, which has a similar mechanism of action, but their pills with toxicity and black box warning, ours doesn't have that the way they do. And when we heard that their product, they accidentally found out that the leukemia patients who need bone marrow transplant they could get graft versus host disease, which 40% of the patients die when they have that. So it's an unmet medical need, and they were going after that. We immediately did an in vitro study 2 years ago of our product, and we saw that in an in vitro setting, we're better than Maraviroc, which is Pfizer's drug, in graft versus host disease. We immediately sent the data to FDA, and they let us have a phase two to start this indication, unmet medical need. We then asked FDA give us orphan drug designations. FDA says, you don't have any human data. Why don't you take 32 mice, inject them with human bone marrow? They all will die. Give half of them Pro-140, leronlimab. And if some of them survive, we give you orphan drug designation. We were shocked when the result came that all the mice that received Pro-140 leronlimab survived, and we eliminated GVHD. We repeated the test four times, sent the data to FDA. FDA immediately gave us orphan drug designation. There's quite a bit of excitement in this product. So what we have done after that is we tested it for colon cancer in a mice setting, and we shrink the tumor by 60%. And then we were shocked when the world-renowned oncologist 5 years ago published all kind of data, got all kind of awards, that he discovered the path of cancer cells to metastasize is through HIV product. Pfizer and Merck are currently immediately are starting the study of their product, their HIV product for colon cancer and breast cancer. And what we have done is we have asked the world oncologist, Dr. Richard Pestell, who invented that, to be our chief medical officer. And he has dropped everything else he was doing to join our company to lead this program because he believes this could change the cancer for many decades to come. If Pro-140 can stop the cancer cells from metastasizing, cancer cannot kill. I'm talking about breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, any cancer that uses CCR5 under cells. And the metastasis happens with the cell, cancer cells that have this receptor, CCR5, that our product binds to. So this could be a future of cancer, and that's why we immediately sent our data to FDA that we had generated in vitro study, and FDA again gave us a phase two. It's actually a 1B-2, but if we selected a population of triple-negative breast cancer, this is a deadly disease, unmet medical need. Patients die within 9 to 13 months. If our product can show that it stops that, then we will be able to hopefully get a breakthrough designation and have this product available for breast cancer, triple-negative breast cancer, as soon as possible, and all other cancers will be studied immediately based upon mechanism of action. So we're looking at a very, very exciting 2019, because our product is close to getting approval for HIV, but then all the other doors that have been opened is really impressive.
Now, in terms of using Pro-140 for the cancer indications, what you're in phase two trials right now, clinical trials?
That's correct. Triple negative breast cancer, our study has initiated already. We told our investors last year when these opportunities came that we will not waste a single day. We filed an IND very quickly, got clearance from FDA, and the initiation of the studies have started. We hope to inject the first patients very soon. And in this quarter, we hope to have our interim results, which would be results that we've been waiting very impatiently. And Pfizer and Merck, their product, just so everyone would know, did work in vitro, and a German group in Germany actually did a human trial, and it actually took the prostate cancer metastasis and colon cancer, and in the colon cancer, we shared the data on our website. Mirabrox was able to get rid of the tumor, and we are going to publish our data immediately after it comes out, and more importantly, let everyone know what our interim result is, because we believe the big pharmas would immediately jump on us and try to get a kind of partnering deal or licensing agreement if we are able to produce the result that the world-renowned oncologist believes we will be able to.
And what's the regulatory path for the cancer indication? What's how far away would you say is the commercialization stage, assuming everything goes right?
So the path to any approval for any product for any disease is phase 1, 2, and 3. Usually it takes about 15 years, 10 to 15 years. But when you have a product like ours, we have missed all the development, and the FDA gave us phase 2 based upon our safety. So we have a 1B-2. But there are products that have been approved by 16 or 15 patients only because they are marked as unmet medical need. That means the population will die if you delay the approval. We have chosen triple negative breast cancer because of that condition. And if we have if you have positive results, the approval could be very quickly. We will file what is called breakthrough designation. Breakthrough designation, BTD, is something that started with FDA in July of 2012. So it's a new program. FDA has come up with a very clever plan to allow products that are needed for unmet medical need population to get approved very quickly. We chose that population because we believe if our product does what we believe it could do, then we will have that approval very quickly.
How far off?
Well, if you file for breakthrough designation, then the FDA breakthrough designation committee will get together, look at the data. I hate to get second guess FDA right now. I would not do that, but I can tell you that there are products that had got approved, final approval, when they are clearly showing that they can help the unmet medical need population. I'm talking about 2019, this year.
Okay, it's impressive. What's the sales potential for these indications? For the cancer
so
indications?
So there is an antibody that's approved for HER positive cancer, breast cancer patients. HER positive, HER2 positive are the patients who are about 14% of breast cancer population. Trastuzumab is an antibody for that population, and they sell about $15 billion per year to this 14% of the population, and the product only works for 1 year, maximum 1.5 years. Now, our product will continue to work. If it works and we see the positive result, it won't have resistance because we have shown there is no resistance to our product. And therefore, if that's the case, you're talking about the population that's 4 times trastuzumab, at least, for breast cancer alone. So 4 times 15 billion, you're talking about 60 billion. And the next year after that, it won't be a new 60 billion. It'll be 60 billion on top of the 60 billion. So it'll be 120 billion for the second year and 180 billion for the third year, as long as the product doesn't get the resistance. And this is just the breast cancer. As we said, bone cancer, brain cancer, melanoma, any cancer that is using metastasis as a way of killing, potentially we have application. So the numbers are just astronomical. We hate to even talk about it because our company is a small company that we've been surprised every step of the way by with good news about this product, and the potentials are extremely high.
Now, getting back to the HIV product, assuming you get the FDA approval in, I guess, what is it, in the first quarter you mentioned, possibly?
No, the final application, which is, you know, it could be in hundred thousands of pages. The final application, which is the BLA, biologic license application, is set to be filed with FDA by the end of March. If we are able to do that, plus or minus a couple of months even, then you're talking about, are you going to have accelerated approval? If we do have accelerated approval, which FDA would decide based upon our fast track designation, then we have a shorter time than 1 year standard. The standard is actually 10 months waiting. So if we get accelerated approval, then we're talking about 6 months period of time for the review process. So hopefully in 2020, we will be able to sell product and have revenue. Just keep in mind that 1 out of 5,000 products going for approval make it. We have already hit our primary endpoint, finished our trial with impressive results of 81% suppression rate versus Pfizer drug, which had 45% suppression among their patients, HIV patients, for 48 weeks. Ours was 81% for 24 weeks. Last product approved had 43% in 24 weeks responders rate. So we have some incredible comparison result that shows how much better we are. And if we get come to the market, 1 out of 5,000 make it. So this is the product that's already passed all the tests that needed to pass and de-risked all the risk that's there. So bottom line is HIV is going to bring generate revenue for us once we get past the approval process.
Now, how will you bring it to market? Will you do it through a partnership or a licensing deal?
So as we told everyone in the past that once we have higher responders rate in our monotherapy, monotherapy is something that I have seen Dr. Oz actually show and talk about it. There is a lot of interest in monotherapy. HIV patients want to just get off of their pills. When we enroll patients, they line up all the hospitals very quickly and their enrollment is very quickly. So I believe getting the size of the market that we have, we believe we can get this to approval by 2020.
Right. Okay. But in terms of, will you be bringing in a partner, you know, in terms of for the sales of the drug?
Yeah. So the partnership, we have spoke about that in the public, that big pharmas have to approach us very quickly when we get to these stages. And we have indicated that we are in talk with big pharma right now. But under NDA, we disclose that information to certain investors, but we don't talk about it publicly. But we are involved in discussions. And if partnership happens and the price that they offer us is the right price and it's good for our shareholders, we will definitely let the shareholders know our opinion. Shareholders have to vote on that. But again, all the indications have to be has to be valued. Evaluated, and we would be very happy to have partnership. If there is no partnership that we agree with, if that doesn't happen, we definitely are able to bring this product to the market ourselves. We do have expertise in our team that can definitely put a team together that we need to put together and start the sales.
Okay. What are your capital needs going forward over the next 12 months?
So going forward, we need fraction of what we have raised in the last 5 years. We raised $180 million. So our potential to raise funds has never been a problem for us. Going forward, also, we believe in order to raise another 15-20% of what we raised before to get it to the finish line is doable, and we will be able to do that. We're always in the mood of fundraising as a biotech company. All are like that. But in individual raises we don't talk about unless there are NDA in place and so forth. But again, our resume is very strong of what we raised in the last 5 years, but we were able to do that. And going forward, we look forward to getting the rest of the money raised that we need. And if we do anything non-dilutive fashion, because we do have quite a bit of opportunities, we do have a diagnostic test, prognostic test, and the prognostic test, we could be getting licensing through certain third parties. And if we do that, that could bring us the rest of the money we need. We're looking at everything very carefully. We got quite a bit of potential here for us, and we will have to evaluate every path very carefully.
So Nader, let's recap. What are the key milestones that you have coming up over the next 12 months that investors should keep an eye on?
Well, definitely the cancer is going to be worldwide news if it is a positive news, as the world-renowned oncologist Dr. Pestel has indicated that he believes it will be positive. That's going to happen most likely in the first quarter of this year. In regards to HIV, we also have said that we're going to file our final application by the end of March. If we're successful to do that, that's in the next 3 months. And in regards to other indication, graft versus host disease, we eliminated GVHD in a mice model, and that paper was published. So we are going to have interim results from that study as soon as we get our first 10 patients and do the interim analysis. That could be another very exciting news for us. We also are going to file IND, initial new drug application, for another phase 2 for colon cancer, because we inhibited the tumors in a mice model. We do have CROI coming up, Conference of Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections, that has accepted our abstract. We'll be presenting in front of the scientists of the world, biggest conference coming up, and publication of our data for our first approval is going to happen this quarter, most likely. So we have quite a bit of milestones coming up.
So in your opinion, what are the key value drivers that investors should take into account when considering your stock?
Yeah, so if you look at any stock that made it very, very profitable for the shareholders, you'll see a flat line for several years. Even Gilead, in 1992, they had a flat line for 7 years before it went up. We believe we are close to inflection point, and the major, major news will be cancer and HIV final application for FDA. We believe those inflection points usually are missed by a lot of investors, big investors, small investors. Our fundamental are facts, and the facts are we hit our primary endpoint, we finish our trial, we're filing that final application. So people who bet on different companies, biotech company, high reward, high risk, this risk has been, in my opinion, mostly de-risked. So we have a potential opportunity, and inflection point is coming up, in my opinion, in this year. And I believe investors should carefully look at the fundamentals that we have if they're interested in CytoDyn.
Nader, I want to thank you, and we look forward to following the story in the months ahead.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.